I was just telling you, your hair looks fantastic.
Thank you. $50 on Amazon.
Oh, it's a wig?
It's a wig,
Oh,
yeah.
wow. It looks great.
Thank you. Although when I have my hair the way it naturally is, some people also think that that's a wig. I'm just lazy.
So where are you living now?
Right
Last time you were
now,
in Florida.
yeah. So the last time we talked, I was in Florida,
Like
and
2 years
right now,
ago?
was it 2 years?
At least a year and a half. I
Oh,
can't remember, but it's.
it's been over a year.
Yep.
I don't think it's been 2 years just yet,
Maybe
though.
a year and a half.
Yeah. So I'm currently in New York now.
How's New York?
It's interesting. I moved to New York to reconnect with my family, and didn't go as well as I hoped that it would. But in New York, I was able to see how people with the same psychological profile as I do live. Since I came out of the closet about being a neurodivergent person with emotional regulation issues, I've met other neurodivergent people with emotional regulation issues. And
It's a handful, a mouthful.
yeah, it is. And some of them are in a different socioeconomic class than I am. And I got to see how my male counterparts live, or people from different backgrounds than I live. And it was quite interesting. Well, I should say it is quite interesting because I'm still in New York.
You were telling me on the phone that your diagnosis has changed since last time. Last time you told me you were antisocial
So,
and autistic.
yeah, so I was diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder and autism spectrum disorder. But having come out, about that, a lot of people are saying, no, you're not a psychopath. Like, I don't think you're a psychopath, but I was told by a psychiatrist and a therapist that I am a psychopath. But I went for a second opinion, and I got another psychiatric evaluation done and a psychosocial done. I met with a therapist, and they concluded that I have something called alexithymia.
Say it again.
They said that I have something called alexithymia. So,
Alexithymia.
yeah. So I could have alexithymia or alexithymia with traits of psychopathy. When I was diagnosed with ASPD, it was during a point in my life when I was going through homelessness. So during that time, I was engaging in selfish behavior and just like, doing things that one might say would be psychopathic, but I was literally just trying to survive. So I was stuck in survival mode.
And there's no drug use.
No. I eat too much, and that I'd
That's your
say,
drug.
yes, that is my vice. Food is my drug of choice. But yeah, I do believe that when I was homeless for so long, that kind of like corrupted my morality, because I didn't do anything like too bad. It's just that like, people would say like, oh, like, how are you? And I'd be like, I'm great, how are you? When I was homeless, or like I joined a gym to, have a place to shower. I had friends that didn't know that I was homeless, and I'd just be like, hey, can I sleep on your couch? So I was like making friends with people specifically so that I could have food to eat and a place to sleep. And I didn't look homeless because the number one priority for me when I was homeless was to not look homeless and to also like try to find a place to sleep.
You're having a hard time working?
During that time, I was unemployed, yeah.
Hard time finding work or?
Yes, I was having a hard time finding work because I was severely unstable. I was mentally unstable, I was emotionally unstable, and I was financially unstable. That's when I was 25 years old.
You seem really together right now, though.
I drank 3 cups of coffee this morning.
That helps.
Yes, I'm addicted to coffee. I need coffee or else I feel dead. But yeah, that helped. And also, you said I seem what
cheery.
Cheery.
Because you were telling me that you are sometimes considering suicide.
Yes. Yes.
And you seem as upbeat and cheery as anybody I've had through here.
Yes, that's what a lot of people say. But seeming is not being. There's a difference between seeming happy and being happy. And what I've learned is a lot of people seem happy and they are not happy. For a lot of women specifically, in society, like, we kind of have to pretend to be happy, especially women that are not affluent, because, like, human beings need each other to survive. If I am a Debbie Downer, no one is going to want to be around me. So I have to be happy, upbeat person. And that's part of the reason why I think a lot of people in my life thought that I did not have ASPD, because I'm not a mean person. I don't I'm not violating the rights of others. But the diagnostic criteria for ASPD, I think it's flawed, because the American Psychiatric Association mainly gets its evaluations from people with ASPD within the prison system. So these are people that are on the extreme side of, you know, psychopathy. And now the American Psychiatric Association is realizing that ASPD is on a spectrum. I don't even fit the diagnostic criteria for ASPD anymore. And I barely did when I was homeless. I was diagnosed when I was 5150 when I was homeless, because I was threatening to take my own life.
What do you think you might have? To summarize what you are... condition is, you don't really feel your feelings. You have to think your feelings.
Yeah. So and I apologize if I seem a little out of it. I drank so much coffee. I was recently diagnosed with a condition called alexithymia. I believe alexithymia is the inability to determine one's internal emotional state. So I don't know how I feel. And I've had...
you don't know if you're angry or depressed or anxious?
No, because I spent most of my childhood suppressing my feelings. When I was going through abuse, I'm one out of three women that go through sexual assault. I was sexually assaulted at the age of 9 years old. And when that was happening to me, without going into any detail, like, when that person was on top of me doing what they were doing to me when I was a child, I pretended like what was happening to me was happening to someone else. I, like, had to disassociate. Sorry, it's hard for me to, like, think of words right now. I had to disassociate from what was happening to me. And trauma has an effect on the brain. And I don't know if I was born with an underdeveloped amygdala, because I recently had a brain scan done, and my neurologist said that I have a flattened pituitary gland, excess cerebral spinal fluid in my brain, and I have an underdeveloped amygdala. So basically all that means is, like, me not being able to feel feelings, it might have a psychological component, you know, meaning the abuse I went through in childhood, but it's also neurological, because my amygdala is non-functioning. And that's part of the reason why I applied for medical assistance in dying, because most of the time I feel little to nothing. Right now, I feel, I think, anxiety, but I think that's just from drinking so many cups of coffee and the jet lag and everything. But most of the time, I feel little to nothing. There are days that I feel absolutely nothing.
But you were saying that you were trying to get a doctor to help you with a suicide.
Yeah, and they denied me because they said that my condition is not terminal. They denied me for my application with MAID, medical assistance.
Your just day-to-day existence is so unbearable that you would rather be dead?
It's extremely unbearable. I feel nothing when I watch TV. I feel nothing when I listen to music. When I dream like just in black and white. Recently, I started dating. I spent my 20s just not having sex because I thought I was asexual. But I think because of, you know, the what I went through in childhood, like some people that go through that level of extreme sexual abuse, they either become hypersexual or they are asexual. So from my 20s, I didn't have a hoe phase. I just told people that I was asexual. And now that I'm getting over my trauma in childhood, I'm realizing I'm not asexual. So, but like, yeah, like to go for what you're saying before, like I recently started dating and I broke someone's heart accidentally. And I didn't even think I was capable of that because I see myself as someone that is unconventionally attractive. Like I think I wouldn't say I'm ugly, but I think I'm an acquired taste. So the fact that I was and this man was significantly more attractive than I was. So I didn't think that I would be able to break his heart, but he said that I did. And he called me a psychopath. And for me, like I was trying to be normal like when I was with him. Like I wanted a normal relationship, even though he said he wasn't my boyfriend because we didn't have sex. But like I remember like he was holding my hands and he was looking at me in my eyes and he said, "I love you." And I told him thank you because I didn't want to lie to him. And I know, like, the old Cassie, 25-year-old Cassie, when she was in the depths of her psychopathy, would have lied to him and said, "I love you too." But because I respect him and I admire him and I wanted to have, like, a real relationship, I wanted to be loyal to him, I wanted him to know the truth. And he said, like, hold on, I gotta remember. He said, "Can you feel it?" And I said, "Feel what?" Because I was thinking like the love. And he said, "No, can you feel how empty you are inside?" And I was like, "Yes." And now that I can look back on that moment, that was a rhetorical question. But I'm autistic, so I thought that was an actual question. And then he started yelling at me. He said he doesn't give a fuck, excuse my language, if I love him or, well, not love him, sorry. He doesn't give a fuck if I admire him or respect him. Like he wants to be loved. And I told him, for me, love is an action. So I show my mother that I love her through my actions. I show my sister that I love her through my actions. A lot of people just say, "I love you," and their actions don't back up love, right? So like, I don't feel love. I've never been in love. I don't know what it's like to love, but I have people in my life that I care about their well-being, and I show them that I care through my actions. But for him, that wasn't good enough. And he did not want to have sex with me because I couldn't say I love him. And in retrospect, I wish that I would have lied to him. And now if I do go into a relationship in the future, I'm just going to lie because,
plenty of women do that. Plenty of women do that.
Plenty of women do that, but
do too.
Yeah, but I wanted something real, and so like for the past year, I've been advocating for people with emotional handicaps, like ASPD, like alexithymia, like anhedonia, like dysthymia, Sorry, I'm saying like too much. I was doing that when I thought I had ASPD. So like advocating for a disorder that I didn't even have put me in positions where I was able to like talk to other people that have emotional handicaps and emotional disabilities. And I'm realizing that like the stereotypes about people that have these conditions are seen through like a neurotypical lens. It's not seen through an empathetic lens. And I think that's one of the reasons why the American Psychiatric Association is debating on whether or not they should make a condition called empathy deficit disorder or emotionally handicapped or emotionally blind or emotionally disabled, because since coming out, you know, of the closet about my problems with feeling emotions, I've met other people that have problems with feeling emotions, and they do not fit the stereotype of a psychopath or a sociopath. And I don't condone psychopathic or sociopathic behavior, especially people that are on the extreme end of the spectrum, because those people include rapists and murderers, and like, yes, let them rot, they're pieces of shit. But there are people in the middle that are just living like in a perpetual state of emotional burnout and emotional numbness. I've met nurses that have told me that they feel dead inside, but you would never know because they're happy and they take care of people and like they are the nicest people you will ever meet. But like they've emailed me and like I live in New York, which there's so many people in New York. I've met, you know, a lot of people and they're like, yeah, like when my colleagues are tired or, you know, just can't take it and a patient is going crazy or won't let them take their blood, they call me because they know that I could handle it. So like talking to a nurse that has an emotional handicap, you know, like people wouldn't never, ever, ever think, wow, she's a psychopath. Or I've had teachers email me and say, I have to check my emotions at the door when I go into the classroom. So they're going into a classroom and they have a smile on their face and they're teaching the youth of America and they feel dead inside. So these are teachers, these are nurses, these are like women that work in law enforcement. It's mostly women that email me. I think it's because I'm a woman. But women that work in law enforcement that are also emotionally handicapped, but they are able to do their jobs and do them well, and no one would ever know. And within their friend group, they're not telling their friends, like, I feel little to nothing. They are just, I think most people would say, if they did know about their, you know, friend or family member having this condition, they would be shocked, like minds were, and say, oh my gosh, were you lying to us all this time? Were you manipulating us, you know? And I'm like, no, like these individuals, especially individuals that help maintain the, you know, the infrastructure of society, like society's, you know, law enforcement, education,
healthcare.
Yeah, like these women are just they're trying to survive, and there's no accommodations made for the emotionally disabled. They don't feel safe saying I don't feel anything or I feel little to nothing. So like they email some girl online that they saw an interview. I've done several interviews, and I was in the closet about my disorder for 5 years. And then when I came out of the closet and started talking about it, that's when I started to get friends. And I really thought like, oh my God, like nobody, people are gonna treat me like crap because I have this condition. And most people are just fascinated. I never thought that a brain scan and a psych eval would get me clout. But I guess it kind of has.
So your ability to be cheery and laugh and all of this is an act?
Yes. Yes. Because I have to act. I have to put on a mask of sanity. If I were to be in my normal state, which I have been around my family, which is part of the reason why they don't want to be around me, like I would be talking with a monotone voice. I would have a low blink rate. And the sociopathic stare, that's another thing.
Can you turn it on for us or turn this act off?
It's hard because they're like, I pretend every single day.
It's what you do all day long when you're awake.
Yes, yes. Not because I'm a bad person, but because I have to survive. Like I have to.
So you're like an actress.
I'm an actress in my own life. And it's not a way to manipulate anyone, because like, so my brain, right? Like the autonomic nervous system controls your blink rate. So people that have an underdeveloped amygdala, it sometimes can affect their nervous system. And, that can affect your blink rate. And I do have a low blink rate. I have to remind myself to blink, right? And that's something that stresses me out. A lot of neurodivergent individuals, especially those with emotional regulation issues, have high blood pressure because we are and when you say acting, it kind of sounds bad, but coping would be a better word.
Coping's a better word.
Yeah, it is a coping mechanism for me to pretend to be normal. And I know I don't really look that normal, but
No, the impression I get is that you're very cheery and you're content and happy and living a good life.
No. I scared my mother. And not intentionally, but my mother was terrified of me. I moved back to New York to be closer with my family. And I spent Thanksgiving with them. And I was pretending to be normal, masking my neurodivergence and my atypical behavior like I do on the daily. But I had to sleep over, right? Because, like, it's Thanksgiving and blah, 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 and everyone is coming over. And I live in a Trinidadian household. So there's a lot of curry and jerk chicken and a lot of food and a lot of drinks. And for me to keep up my mask of sanity for more than 24 hours, it's hard. Sometimes the mask slips. And I don't do, like bad things, but like I forget to blink at a normal rate, or like my voice gets deep, and like sometimes like I'm doing things that like to a neurotypical person doesn't make any sense. Like I was at Thanksgiving at my aunt's house, and I didn't even know it, but I was like staring at my mother, right? And I don't know, like she had on an outfit, she looked really nice, she was wearing a waist trainer, you know, like she had her hair done, her makeup. I was just like, she looks nice, like, but like I wasn't masking, and my mom was looking at me, looking at her, but I didn't feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortability was something that I had to learn over time. Like the sociopathic stare, like when I am staring at someone, which I try not to do, when I'm staring at them, it's not with like ill intent. It's usually because that person looks interesting and they're interesting to look at. And they, like, I don't usually notice that they're upset until, like, their face looks angry, right? And then I'm like, okay, I should look away. But, like, I don't, like they are uncomfortable because I'm looking at them, but I'm not uncomfortable because the part of my brain that's supposed to make me feel uncomfortable doesn't work. So they're thinking, why the fuck is this girl staring at me? Is she going to hurt me? Is she going to rob me? Like, what's happening? Because we're human beings and we still have that primal instinct that when like a stranger is staring at us, like, and they're not smiling and they're not blinking, something is wrong.
Is that more the autism or is it the other disorder?
It's the underdeveloped amygdala. Yeah. Yeah. And, the hate that I received online after coming out of the closet when I was diagnosed at the time with ASPD, a lot of people were mad at me. And that's part of the reason why I deleted my TikTok and I deleted my Instagram, even though I had like over 100,000 followers. I never thought I would have 100,000 followers. But I had to delete it because people said that I was perpetuating the narrative that autistic people are sociopaths, that autistic people can't feel. And that's not a narrative that I was intentionally trying to perpetuate. I was diagnosed with ASPD and I thought that I had it. And then recently they diagnosed me with alexithymia. And now I'm trying to figure out, well, like, how do I learn to live with alexithymia? If you wanted me to not mask, you should have told me earlier, by the way, because like, I have to look in the mirror and like remember, like, okay, like be like this, blink, like be happy. But like I have to kind of like remember, like, okay, just be yourself. Like when I get home.
Do you want me to get you a mirror? I can get you a mirror right now. A big one.
I need like 5 minutes to decompress from the coffee, from the masking. But I mean, like, if that's what you want, sure.
I just think it would be interesting to show how
you want me to be real.
How you, yeah, change.
Yeah.
We can try it. I can edit it out if it doesn't work.
I think, I wish you would have told me earlier.
If you don't want to do it, we don't have to.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time, because then I wouldn't drink coffee. There coffee is a stimulus, you know? I'm stimulated right now.
Mm-hmm. Like this cheery demeanor that you have now, you're smiling, you're mm-hmm. laughing. What are you really feeling?
Right now, little to nothing. I feel...
And that's got to be really kind of...
It's hell.
It's hell.
It's hell. It's hell.
You can't have your heart broken. You can't fall in love. You can't...
No.
Get excited.
No.
You can't... You can even get sad.
I don't feel positive emotions, but I can feel negative emotions. And that's part of the reason why I became a Christian, because I could... Okay, so I could understand why psychopaths kill. I would never kill anyone. But when you feel nothing, it's a dehumanizing state to be in, right? And you feel like an object, because you don't feel like a human, because you look at other people and how human beings are supposed to be, and you realize that you're not like that. So it would be very easy for someone that wasn't trying to be a decent human being to take another person's life, because they're not viewing that person as a person, because they don't view themselves as a person, because they can't, because they're disabled, because the part of their brain that's supposed to be able to feel positive emotions is disconnected. So, God, sorry, what was your question?
No, I just find it interesting. Like, if somebody gave you a winning lottery ticket and you just won...
I would pretend to be happy.
$50,000, $100,000. You would... not feel any joy?
No.
But you would pretend to.
Yes.
Because it's appropriate.
Yes.
Socially appropriate.
Yes. And I would plan on giving my mother and my sister some of that. Like, but I wouldn't feel anything. I recently did a collab, not recently, but a couple months ago, collaboration
with... I think psychopaths or antisocial, you know, people that have antisocial personality disorder probably get a really bad rap, because it's on a spectrum, I would imagine, and you're not a murderer or a killer or a...
No, it's a disability. It really is. Seeing, like, breaking that man's heart, I don't think I'm going to find a man that's that attractive or that financially stable again. I just don't, because I'm overweight, I have crooked teeth, and I have mental and emotional health issues. The fact that he liked me, it was interesting, you know, but like all he wanted was to be loved. And he even told me he felt loved by me, but I couldn't say it because I didn't want to lie to him. And when he was yelling at me and screaming at me and I was just standing there, he said, "Why couldn't you lie?" And I was like, "Fuck, I should have lied."
That's all men want.
Yeah, I should have lied. But I wouldn't want someone to lie to me, because I can't feel love. So to me, love is honesty. Love is transparency, because I don't feel the emotion. My mother, she was scared, because she said, she was like, "Cassandra, I thought you was going to hurt me. You're staring at me like that." And I was like, sorry, I do a horrible impersonation of my mother. She's from Trinidad. She has a thick Trinidadian accent. But I was like, no, like, I don't even... remember staring at you. Like, I just thought you looked cute. But, so like,
even your family doesn't quite grasp what you have.
No. When I was younger, I would get slapped a lot. They would tell me to fix my face, and they would slap me because I had a monotone face and I was staring at people.
They call it a bitch face? Is that what they call it?
Resting bitch face. Resting. Yes, I had a resting bitch face, and they did not feel comfortable around me. And they would just reprimand me, because that's how Trinidadians are with younger kids. If they're doing something wrong, they pop them in the face. But yeah, I told my mom, like, if I was displaying these atypical traits, why didn't you take me to a doctor? Because I'm in my 30s, and I do not know how to have, I've never had a boyfriend. I recently had my first hookup, and even that was unpleasant. And I only did it because everyone was, I fell into the peer pressure, because they told me, like, it will make you feel better. And I did it and I felt nothing. And also that other guy, I heard that hookups don't really turn into relationships, but he wanted to turn the hookup into a relationship. And I told him, I don't feel anything for you. I was using you as a as a masturbatory aid.
So you've had two guys now who kind of developed feelings for you, and you had nothing to give them.
Well, the first one, I was really trying. I was really, really trying. And I did everything correctly. I was kind. I listened to him. I cooked for him. I tried to make his life easier. But he wanted me to be authentic, but he also didn't want me to lie. And I was masking with him, but I was trying to be as authentic as I could be while masking my neurodivergence and my atypical traits. And I should have known that he just wanted me to just, I wish that he was honest with me. And he said, Cassandra, I want you to be how I want you to be. Like, don't try to be yourself. I would have been like, okay. And I would have done that because we wanted the same things. We wanted to get married. We wanted to have kids. And like, I wanted those things with him. And he's like a nerd. He's very logical, finance bro.
No, but guys, I think are susceptible to girls telling them that, oh my God, you're like the smartest man I know. You're so funny. I love you. You have the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Men will buy that shit.
Yes. And I would have done that if he didn't tell me to be honest with him. But he told me he wanted honesty. So now I know. And that was my first experience with dating.
You just don't give it to
dating.
Him, even when you...
Yeah.
Ladies, and I'm... You can learn from this.
Yes. But like, I'm dishonest when I need to be. I don't like lying, right? And that's another misconception about me and I guess people with similar conditions to me is that we are manipulators. And for me, someone that is emotionally handicapped or disabled that is constantly lying to people, that is someone that's low functioning. Because in order to get what you want from people, you can't lie to them because most people are not stupid. They know when they're being lied to. So in order to have friendships, in order to have people that will help you out when you need it, in a non-romantic relationship, you need to be honest. And I have been honest with so many women and men that I'm friends with, and I tell them, I can't really feel anything. Don't tell me any secrets because most likely I'm just going to tell it to someone else. And they're like, that's okay, girl. And they will tell me the secret anyways, right? Because I'm being honest with them and because I'm honest with them, that makes them trust me, right? So it's the complete opposite of what you think manipulation should be. Maybe in business you should lie to people. But like in order for people to like, for example, yesterday I was hanging out with people that I watch on YouTube, that I watch on TV, and they were assuming that I was somebody. I don't think I'm on their level, but they assumed that I was because I was in the same space as they were. And I think it's just because I don't give a shit, right?
I imagine a guy like the one you described who you broke his heart.
Not on purpose.
No, but he was. You said he was very attractive, and he had a lot of things to offer.
Yeah.
And he can probably get a lot of women.
Yes. He was telling me, gosh.
And you're the first one who.
Yeah. He said that I was the first girl that didn't send him nudes. He was showing me all of the nudes from all of the girls that sent him pictures of their. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You were not purposely, but you were playing hard to get.
Yeah, but not intentionally. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You're just not falling in love with them.
Yeah, but I wanted to.
And some guys like challenges.
Yeah, but like he was showing me pictures of girls' vaginas and boobs and like full body nudes that girls sent him, and like I was like, wow, she's hot. What are you doing with me? You know? And he's like, well, I like you. You didn't show me a picture of your pussy, and I'm just like, what the hell?
Something else for women to learn.
And I'm just like, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, these women had nice bodies. They want to send a guy a picture. I'm not going to judge a woman for doing that. But I just thought that it was interesting that he picked me over them just because I didn't show a picture of my...
Your challenge.
Yeah. And I'm 31 years old, and I'm trying to learn how to date and this. And I'm playing catch up because I would like to have a baby before I'm 35. And
that means that I have to understand.
Do you think you'll love your child?
Before I deleted my Instagram, I messaged Patrick Gagne, which is a woman that has ASPD, and she has children, and like she has a husband.
ASPD again is antisocial.
Antisocial personality disorder. I would say it's all under the umbrella of emotional handicaps.
You would still say you have antisocial?
No, I don't, because I don't meet the diagnostic criteria for ASPD, but I would say that I am emotionally disabled.
Right.
I have an emotional handicap. And I wanted to know, like, how does she love her child? Because I think she loves her children, but she never messaged me back. But that's fine. I like her a lot. I like Emmy Thomas. I did a collaboration with Emmy Thomas, and they're both women that have came out the closet about having emotional handicaps, emotional disabilities. And I kind of like look up to them, because I think like until recently, ASPD, alexithymia, anhedonia, dysthymia, like all of these, CPTSD, like all of these emotional handicaps were demonized. And I think the only reason why people are like being empathetic towards psychopaths, sociopaths, alexithymics, dysthymics, and people with anhedonia is because more women are being diagnosed. Mm. And I know that that is going to rub people the wrong way, but like for the past year, I've met a plethora of men that have the same condition, and they said, yeah, I've just been suffering in silence, right? So like women complain about men being emotionally unavailable, and like when a boy falls on the floor, like a parent would be like, man up, don't cry. And like that, like can form into alexithymia, like being disconnected from your internal emotional state.
Do you ever have feelings for your like creative projects or work or anything like that?
No, and it is hurting me.
That's gonna be horrible.
Yeah, I deleted my Instagram and my TikTok, and I had a huge following, and I didn't care. And my friend Joseph was yelling at me.
Do you worry about being liked by others?
I want to be liked by others.
Do you want the approval of others, or?
I want to be liked by others. I want the approval of others, but if I'm gonna be honest, I don't care. So
it's a blessing sometimes.
Yeah. I've had people tell me like that must be so peaceful to be unbothered. It must be so peaceful to not give a shit.
I think the reality of it is probably very empty.
It's very empty, and it's not peaceful at all. It's part of the reason why I have high blood pressure and I overeat, because I look at people being in love. I watch love movies even though I don't feel anything when I watch it, and I want that.
And that's why you are contemplating.
Yeah, I was denied twice. I applied for MAID, medical assistance in dying, in Canada. They denied me because I'm not a Canadian citizen and I don't fit the requirements. Although there was an autistic woman in the Netherlands that applied for MAID, and I believe she was approved, but somehow I'm denied. But that's okay.
You got to turn off your acting skills, because you come off as very healthy and cheery.
Yeah, but
you come off as very well adjusted.
Yes, but okay, so I started masking highly, like I am right now, at the age of 25, when I was diagnosed, and I started reading books about emotional intelligence. Before the age of 25, I had people threaten to beat my ass existing.
Because you just stare at them with no expression.
Yes.
The resting bitch face.
Yes, and I've had people threaten to fight me. I've had people threaten to kill me and I wasn't hurting anyone.
No, like, with men, if a man is at a bar, let's say, and he stares at another guy for 3, 4, 5 seconds, there's a fight.
That's what, okay, so.
And maybe with women it's a little different, but.
Yeah.
There's some of that same kind of
thing. Well, women talk more than they fight. And I've had women scream in my face. And I just like, I'm like, okay, hit me. You said you're going to fuck me up. Fuck me up. And they don't do it. But like, I was talking to my male counterparts, which are like, a lot of them are way more successful than me. Like, I've been in rooms I made friends with this dude in Long Island. And he is a surgeon. And he's in his 30s. And we're just friends, because he has a girlfriend. And he was like, he showed me this world, right? This world that I knew existed, but I didn't really know existed. And I'm just like, wow, you guys have it so much better than me.
And they're like, Cassie, if you were a man, you would have killed yourself already. Like, because I've just been coasting through life. And they're like, they were straight up with me. They're like, the reason why anyone has any sympathy for you is because you're a woman with this condition and maybe because you're Black. And I was like, I don't know if that's true because, like, I feel like people, like I'm at a lower state socioeconomically. Like, I'm, you know, struggling. And they're like, yeah, but if you were a man, even if you, and this is like most of my friends in New York are like white dudes, you know? And it's kind of odd because, like, I do feel weird just being around, like, finance bros and, like, dudes that work in tech. But, like, these are the people that are high-functioning autistic with alexithymia that I've met that are successful because I'm not going to be around somebody that is not masking because that means that they're low-functioning. And I don't want to put myself in a room alone with someone that has low emotional intelligence.
It's a curse to date somebody like you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The dudes that I talk to that have a similar psychological profile to me, they are living very interesting lives. That's – okay, so I'm not going to say names. But, like, I know this one dude, and this is the dude that I hang out with and that like, has me hanging out with other dudes. Should I talk about this? He's not a bad person. He's not a bad person.
You're not naming names, so.
Yeah. So he emailed me. He emailed me at chocolateautizzi@gmail.com. My friend Joseph, my gay bestie, helped me come up with that email. And he was like, hey, I saw your interview with Special Books by Special Kids. And, like, I live in New York and you live in New York and we should grab a drink. And I was like, okay. And then we met and we were talking and he has a girlfriend and he has a good job and he's close with his family. And I'm like, how the hell are you capable of doing this stuff? I've been struggling to achieve this, you know? And then he told me, like, how he lets go of his anger because he's had a similar life to me. And I was told that dudes that look like him have it easier than me. And maybe he's, like, I live in a low-income, high-crime neighborhood, unfortunately. I'm trying to get out of that. But, like, he lives in, like, a middle-class, low-crime area, right? So I was like, oh, you have life better than me. And he was like, Cassie, when I was young, I was essayed too. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, because I was like, but you're a man, you know? And then I was like, oh, crap. I shouldn't assume that men don't get sexually assaulted, you know?
Probably just almost as much as women.
Yeah, but they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it.
Men don't. Boys don't talk about it.
Yeah, and he was telling me, like, his girlfriend and him have an open relationship. With his girlfriend, he makes love to her. With his family, he is kind to them. He's loving to them. Like, with his friends, with his coworkers, he puts on this mask of normalcy. And then he was telling me, like, he's on this website called FetLife. Right? And he was like, I do have dark urges and I need to let them go because if I keep them in, then I'm going to be a fucked up guy. And I was like, okay. Because I'd like, if I did have a fight or flight, I would have probably left the room. Thank God that he's not a bad person. Right? But he was telling me that he engages in consensual non-consent with women, right? In order to let his sociopathic urges out. And I was just like, but why would you do that? You have a girlfriend. Your girlfriend's hot. You're hot. Like, why do you need to do things with other people? And he's like, because I don't want to inflict that on my girlfriend. She can't be everything for me. Like, and he told me one of the reasons he's friends with me is because he can unmask with me. So when we're hanging out together, we both have, and I noticed this, we both have, like, low blink rate. Our voice is very monotone, and we're just, like, we're talking like two Vulcans, kind of. And, like, I realized this, like, not too long ago, and I was like, oh, shit. And he's like, yeah, that's why you're my friend.
We can I get you to come back here later on today, and we'll try it when you're in that state of mind?
I'm going on the plane around 2.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
That's not going to work then.
Yes. No, but maybe when I'm in California next time.
Next time, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, we're just, like, two Vulcans. And, like, his friends are not, like, as, like, deviant as he is. And I shouldn't even call him that because we're still cool. But, like, he's told me things that he's done. And that he's told me that he's done tests on me to see if, like, we were, you know, like the same. And I didn't even know that I was being tested. I was just like, eh. I was so out of it. Because he came out of the shower once and he was completely naked. And I was like, go put on some fucking clothes. Because he was like, we're going to go to the bar.
But there's nothing about you that turned that turns you on? Or
no, he's a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking guy. But, like, he has a girlfriend, and I'm not going to have sex with a man that has a girlfriend.
Let's say he didn't have a girlfriend. And you were attracted. No, you're not. You don't get attracted, right? Or do you?
I'm attracted to personality. Like, obviously, for optics, I would like to have good-looking people around me so that people can also assume that I'm a good-looking person. Because human beings are like that, right? So, like, part of the, like, if he was average looking, like I am average looking, would I deal with the majority of his bullshit? Probably not, if I'm going to be honest. You know, I am aware that he's attractive. And I'm aware of the doors that opens for him.
I think the rest of us need a little bit more of what you have. to make better decisions.
Yeah, but then it's not so good because I've had someone say, you need help with your teeth, you need help finding a place, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you a couple $1,000 if we could have sex. And I was like, no, because I was used as a sexual object when I was a child. I'm not going to be used as a sexual object as an adult. That's just like a decision that I've made for myself. There's nothing wrong with women.
But you have the right personality to be a sex worker.
Probably.
You wouldn't get traumatized by anything.
Well,
or would you?
I think my assault and trauma. So I think sorry, I drank so much coffee. I think my experience with childhood SA in a way has traumatized me because my amygdala is not working.
Oh, you think maybe it was caused by that?
Yeah, I think I think that it has something to do with that. Sure. For sure. Cause like part of the reason why he stopped was because he wasn't getting anything out of it.
No one else in your family has this?
I don't know, because my dad and I don't talk. Like, we just don't talk. And my mom talks about my dad like he might be a psychopath. Because my dad has, I think he has like 10 or more kids all around, you know? So it's like, why would you do that? You know, he was with my mom because he needed a place to stay. He left my mom. Because my mom is a Trinidadian woman, and when she found out that he was cheating on her, she hit him. Because the Trinidadian women are very strong women, mentally, you know, whatever. But he left my mom, and then, like, he got with another woman, and then he left her, and he got with another woman. And this was during my childhood, so who knows how many children he has now. So I don't know if my father is a psychopath. We don't talk. When I was a child... He was mad that I was developing. I hit puberty and I started to develop breasts. And around the time he left is when I started getting molested. So I kind of blame him for getting molested because I was like, maybe if he was in my life, that would have never happened, you know? But just the simple fact that like that, because we were very close. My father and I were very, very close. And then when I started to hit puberty, he just couldn't have a father-daughter relationship with me anymore. He just left, you know, and he was cheating on my mom and my mom kept on hitting him. So maybe that also had something to do with it.
Do you have like a favorite movie, favorite song, things like that?
No, I have never felt connected to music. I feel nothing when I listen to music. I feel nothing when I watch TV. When I was trying to date the guy that I was trying to date, I remember one night he slept over. And we did engage in a sexual act because he was like, I want to make you feel good. I want you to have positive associations with sex. I'm going to go down on you. And I was like, okay. And then he just got tired because, like, nothing was happening. So I was like, okay, let's watch TV.
You weren't turned down.
So when I was a child and when I was being abused, that person was doing, you know, fucked up stuff to me, you know. And in my mind, I was like, I don't want to be, like, as a child, I was like, I don't want to enjoy this because I don't want this. This was something that was being done to me that I did not want. So I would think of, like, when I was in Trinidad, I saw a pig get butchered. So I would think about, like, a pig being butchered. Like, I would think about, like, people dying so that I didn't get aroused by this pedophile. Yeah, I think like that has affected me as an adult because I'm 31 years old and I've never had an orgasm.
Jesus, childhood sexual...
You said Jesus Christ.
Childhood sexual abuse is like the worst thing.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
the worst.
Yeah, yeah,
I,
yeah.
I never realized how much of it there was until I started doing these interviews, and I realized
yes.
how many people have been through that.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Like, sorry, I think my nose is... but it's crazy. It is crazy. It's crazy that I have...
It's crazy that somebody couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you had the urge, how the fuck can you do that to somebody?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Actually, I've had rapists email me. Like, people that have got out of prison for rape. And they said that it was done to them. Like, it was done to me. So they feel justified doing it to other people. Like I was raped when I was a kid. And now they have an attraction for kids. And they feel justified in raping kids because it was done to them. And I'm just like, okay, I blocked this person. Like, those people cannot be helped. When psychiatrists and therapists say that psychopaths can't be helped, those are the people that can't be helped. People that are on the extreme end of the spectrum. People that are in the middle, people that have jobs that help maintain the infrastructure of society, nurses, law enforcement, well, you know, sorry, I drank so much coffee this morning. Educational field, law enforcement, and just other fields. I can't even think right now. Healthcare, like these people they need to help. They want help, but psychiatrists and therapists are discriminating against them. And that discrimination is changing because more women are being diagnosed with alexithymia. More women are being diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder and all these other conditions that psychiatrists said there's no treatment for. Now they're trying to find treatment for it because Becky in Colorado has ASPD, right? So they need to help Becky.
You're like a good psychopath.
Well, I don't fit the diagnostic criteria for psychopathy, but I have the brain. I got two.
But I can't remember, and nobody can say the thing you actually have.
Alexithymia. Yeah,
alexithymia.
I saw two neurologists. One neurologist said, you have the brain of a psychopath. The other neurologist said, you have the brain of somebody that's been through trauma. So, like, I don't know which one to believe. I don't identify as a victim, though. Like, I just don't. I'm a survivor of everything that I've been through.
Do your feelings ever get hurt?
No. And so many...
So if a guy says... Mm-hmm. You could lose some weight or you could...
Oh, they said that.
That you get your teeth fixed. Or mm-hmm. I mean, how do you... Like, a lot of people would get very butthurt.
They're right. I do need to lose weight. I would like my teeth fixed.
No, but do you get butthurt when somebody tells you that?
No. I have binge eating disorder. It's a vice for me because when I'm stressed out, like, for example, my sister, you know, she had a boyfriend and she's happy and I was pretending to be happy for her, but then I was so angry.
I was so angry. Do you end up getting angry from having the appropriate reaction all day
yeah,
long?
Yeah. I come home. I live by myself.
Crazy.
I come home and I scream and I punch walls. My neighbor, God bless her heart, she is understanding. So when she hears me punching walls, she knocks on my door and she's like, bitch, cut that shit out. Let's go outside. Let's take a walk. Because I'm in Long Island. So it's like very like Italians, like, you know, like very like, you know, like, so it's a few ratchet girls, but I love the ratchet girls. But like, they're very understanding because like they've been through not to the extent that I've been through, but like they kind of like know, like
they can relate.
Yeah. Like they're like, Cassie is unwell. She's not unhinged.
No, but like a lot of African American women have been through so much crap.
A lot of poor women have been through so much
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. This is what I'm learning because I went to group therapy.
And they become like better people for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible, but they end up becoming great human beings.
Yeah, and I went to group therapy and I was surprised at, like, it wasn't just black women. It was like, but it was all, we were all broke. We were all poor. And that's one thing I noticed, like how poverty can corrupt morality, how poverty, living in poverty puts you in situations that you wouldn't be in if you weren't living in poverty. But that's a discussion for another time. But yeah, like, one thing that was interesting being in group therapy, there was a woman and she stood up and she said, I had to suck dick to survive. And like in my mind, so I've never sucked dick to survive, but I don't look down on women that have. But in my mind, I was like, shit, I thank God that like I like when I was younger and I was homeless, I did babysitting. I did live-in nanny jobs. I was in gated communities, you know, like with like Becky and Ken, you know, like taking care of their kids. And I was like, you don't gotta pay me. Cause like I had my own room. Like it was like to survive, I found ways to survive, you know? And like some people aren't capable of doing more than sucking dick to survive because they don't really have like a lot of skills. And they grew up with people that told them that they couldn't do shit and they believe that. And I'm not saying that that woman had to suck dick to survive, but she believed that she had to suck dick to survive. And like she's in her 40s. And I told her, I said, you didn't have to do that. I don't know who told you you had to do that, but you didn't have to do that. You could have worked at McDonald's. McDonald's doesn't pay enough. McDonald's doesn't pay enough, but if you have a job at McDonald's, you can get into a shelter. You can get Section 8, you can get Medicaid, you can get help. But she didn't know that because somebody told her that she had to suck dick to survive and she believed them. Yeah. So, I mean, like people have told me fucked up things like that too, but in my mind, I'm like, you're projecting. Like you feel like you, you know.
That's right. Projecting happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially on social media.
Yeah.
Cassie, let me ask you one last question. What would you say is the most important thing you've learned now that you've been through all of this?
Wow.
Because you're going through life in a very different way than most people do, not having like feelings.
Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. The one thing I've learned, especially like after starting my YouTube channel, Chocolate Autizzy, the one thing I've learned about this whole thing is that can you be more specific, please? Because like, I don't want to generalize.
Like you're 25?
No, I'm 31.
I mean, you're 31.
Yeah.
31.
I was diagnosed at 25.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're 31, and you've been through life never really having feelings of love, of...
No, I've never been happy. I've never felt love.
What have you learned going through life like that? Because very few people have experienced what you have.
I've learned to have faith in God. That's what I've learned. I hope and I pray that one day God will help me to be able to feel love and to be able to feel happy and to not pretend, because I know that I'm a good pretender and there are people that will write in the comments, she doesn't have alexithymia, because there were people that were saying, oh, you don't have ASPD. And like, I have had my brain scanned. My amygdala is fucked. It's not working.
Do you ever cry?
Oh, that's good. That's a good question. I don't just sit and start crying. Like, I wish that I could film one of those crying videos. I did once. I deleted like over 100 videos from my social media. Crying happens automatically. Like, excuse my language, but crying is like a fart to me. Like, if my body needs to cry, it will start crying. Like, I can't force myself to cry. Like,
No. I'm not. No one. I don't think. And maybe an actor can force themselves to cry, but
yeah.
Most people feel this emotion from something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a song or somebody saying something to them or whatever.
Yeah. Emotions are tied to memories. And because my prefrontal cortex isn't working as it should, I have problems with memory because memories are tied to emotions.
So you don't cry?
Sometimes I wake up from sleep and there are tears running down my face.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like that guy that called me a femcel. That made me cry. And then I thought, oh, wait, I'm doing TikTok. I should grab my camera.
So maybe you're just burying your emotions very effectively after the sexual abuse you went through when you were 9.
They are very buried. They are so buried. I can't even access them.
Yours are so buried you can't even access them.
No.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, because like my mother... we were outside and there was like a guy pulling up in a car.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on YouTube.
You're funny. That was fake too. I'm sorry. I always like laugh.
So that laugh right there is fake?
Yes.
That's scary.
This is why my own mother is afraid of
me. That's why the guy fell in love with you. Because you're very likable.
How do you know that people are connecting? One of the best ways to know that people are connecting is through laughter. Because I can't, like, create genuine emotional connect. Because I can't share emotions with other human beings. I have to fabricate a connection. One of the ways that I fabricate connections with people is through laughter. And that's one of the reasons why I was diagnosed with ASPD, because the lady that I was talking to, she was like, why do you feel the need to manipulate other people? And I was like, I don't feel the need to manipulate other people. I feel the need to fit in into society. And if I want to connect with other people, I have to laugh. A lot of people think that I'm a chubby, jolly, you know, chocolate lady. And I am completely dead on the inside. I'm friends with guys that I probably shouldn't be friends with, if I'm going to be honest, that are also completely dead on the inside. But they've turned it into an advantage. And it's very hard for someone like me to turn Machiavellian traits, to make Machiavellian traits advantages. So, yeah. But I have faith in God, and I pray. And some people, they're like, how can you believe in God if you don't feel anything? And I'm like, that's one of the reasons why I have to believe in God, because I don't feel anything. Like, I would be in a jail cell or dead if I didn't, like, part of my moral compass is my religion. Part of my moral compass is the laws of society, my religion, what other people think, you know, like, my thoughts, I think faster than I speak. And then I have to try to process all that. And then I have to try to process, like, how I should be in a setting like this. So it's a lot. But I pray to God. I go to church on Sunday. Although I have to find another church, because the lady in church is talking mad shit about me. Because they're like, you're a psychopath. You shouldn't be at the soup kitchen. I volunteer at the soup kitchen sometimes. And there was a lady, and she saw one of the interviews that I did on YouTube. And she told everybody about it, because I've done your interviews with you, interviews with everybody. Like I said, I don't know how a brain scan is getting me clout. I never thought that it could. If I knew that it could, I would have came out about my disorder when I was in my 20s. she didn't want me to work in the soup kitchen because I'm emotionally disabled. And she made them kick me out, because she's like, why are you even doing this? You don't get anything out of this. And I was like, so I don't get anything out of helping people. Does that mean that I shouldn't help people? People still need help. And yeah, but they told me that I couldn't volunteer anymore.
Does doing a good deed for someone, like someone in need, and you're buying them lunch or you're making food for them or whatever, does that make you feel good about yourself?
I do. So I don't talk about this a lot because I don't want it to come off as performative, but over the past year of me coming out of the closet about having alexithymia and being autistic, well, ASPD and then coming out as alexithymia, I have met a lot of people. I've talked to moms that thought that their kids were school shooters, and I've said, if he hates school and if he's thinking about shooting up the high school, you got to take him out of class. You got to, like, homeschool your kid. Get him some help. And she did. And, like, I was like, okay, this is great. You know, I've talked to women that feel nothing, and they have a kid and they have a husband. Abigail in Montana got a kid and a husband, and she emailed me that she doesn't feel anything. And I'm like, well, you need to go to therapy. Maybe, you know, try to figure out why you don't feel anything. So I do a lot for the neurodivergent community. No, but like
when you do something kind for someone,
uh-huh,
helping a little old lady cross the street,
uh-huh,
does that make you feel good about yourself?
Or? No.
Wow.
It doesn't make me feel bad. It's just, it doesn't make me feel anything. Like I do things and I'm overtly kind, and I try to do more than I should. And that's part of the reason why nobody believes me when I say that I don't feel anything, because I'm compensating for the fact that I think I'm a bad person.
And is this...
Even though I'm trying to do good things.
Your diagnosis again?
I am diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
No, what's the one that I can't pronounce?
Alexithymia.
Alexithymia. That is genetic, or is it caused by some traumatic event in your childhood?
I don't think they know the causes of alexithymia.
See, it sounds to me, after everything we just talked about, that it sounds to me like you're a victim of childhood sexual abuse, the trauma.
Survivor of childhood sexual abuse.
Yeah. It just hit you a little bit deeper than most, perhaps.
Maybe. I mean, like...
Because a lot of women that have been through that end up becoming sex addicts or...
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
I was celibate for my entire 20s.
And others end up becoming the opposite.
Yeah. Maybe it was the assault in childhood. Maybe it was the bullying in school. Maybe it was my mom, like, constantly beating the shit out of me. I'm not too sure.
Perfect storm of terrible things for a young girl.
Yeah. But just because I've been through terrible things, I'm not going to say, oh, well, this justifies me being a terrible person.
No, you don't have a victim attitude mentality, which is great.
No, I don't want to be a victim.
That doesn't negate the fact that you went through something terrible when you were 9. Have you done therapy?
Therapists don't want to take me. They read the Psych Eval. They read the Psychosocial. They read all of this, and they're like, I'm so sorry, but I don't think I can help you.
I just wonder if there's some kind of treatment that can get you access to what happened to you at 9, and maybe you can unearth it and work through it.
There's very little research done on people that have emotional disabilities. And the only reason why they're even putting research into it is because more women are being diagnosed and more women in middle America are being diagnosed. And it's
I've known people in my life who have things very similar, and it's on a spectrum, so some are more extreme, some are less, seem to have the same thing you're just describing.
Yeah. I want to help to create treatment for this, because there's no treatment for this.
Right.
There's treatment for the prison population, but there's no treatment for the people like me. There's no treatment for Benjamin. There's no treatment for Cassandra. There's no treatment for Becky.
But you're saying people in prison that have this,
yeah,
there is a treatment for it?
Yeah, jail. Punishment time.
Jail cell.
Yeah. But people that don't break the law. I was talking to this one guy, he's a lawyer in Staten Island, and he claims to be a psychopath. And he was telling me, if you know how the law works, you don't have to break it to get what you want. But he's in a position where he went to law school. So he can navigate the law to get whatever the fuck he wants. He doesn't have to break it.
Hmm.
You know, Tyrell doesn't have any, he doesn't know how the law works in order to get what he wants, so he's just going to take it, you know? And he's in jail. Tyrell's in jail, and this other dude is a lawyer, you know? So, crap.
All right. Cassie, thank you so much for...
Yes, and I apologize if I seem out of it.
You seem great.
Okay.
You seem great.
Yeah. But God has been helping me through this. And I know it sounds crazy to be like, God, after I just talked about having a hookup, because I would have liked to wait until marriage to have sex, but my virginity was taken from me.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Huh?
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
All right. Even though Soft White Underbelly consists of a lot of videos, it's really still a photography project to me. And if you appreciate the photography, sometimes it's difficult to enjoy it when it's scrolling down the screen, which is the only option I had in this horizontal format on YouTube. So last year we came out with the first Soft White Underbelly book, which is a collection of the best portraits from the thousands of interviews I've done. Each portrait in this book is accompanied by an interesting quote from the person's interview.
Oh my God.
There's more.
Wow. These aren't as bad as I thought. I look like a witch.
I will not be reprinting this book when it sells out. So once it's gone for good. You can order yours at softwhiteunderbelly.org. $125, $150 for a signed copy. And thank you for watching.